As some of you know, I have a pretty old car. It has 194,000 miles on it. It leaks oil, it drinks gas, and one day I will probably upgrade it, but it's not happened today. Well, a few months back, we were actually leaving on Sunday morning to come up here. This is when we were still setting up and tearing down. And so we had loaded up our car with all the stuff we needed. We had pulled out of the driveway and we hadn't got 50 yards down the road. And the engine started to bog down and ended up cutting off. And so we pulled over, put in park, I started back up, and it started right back up. But as soon as we took off again, it bogged down and cut out again. So we limped it back home and switched cars and came back here with everything with the new vehicle. And thankfully, we weren't too far from the house. But you know, cars, they have many different parts, from the engine to the transmission to the braking system to the electrical system. And each part, though it may look different, though it may have different jobs, though it may be bigger or smaller, and maybe even something that's small in comparison to the engine or the car as a whole, something that's small, like a little spark plug, can keep a car from running like it should. Well, after a couple of aggravating hours, I got all the spark plugs changed in my car and it started running fine again. But a little part, because it wasn't working like it should, made the whole car run wrong. Much like a car, we as the church are made of many different parts. And we may look different, we may have different jobs, but when we aren't working together as the church, we won't move forward. In order for us as a whole to move forward, and in order for us as individuals to grow, we must be plugged in and connected with each other, with the rest of the church. And friends, look, we as Journey Church, we aren't a race car. We aren't just pulled out of the garage on race day to go really fast. We aren't a classic car. We aren't kept in the garage until it's sunny outside. We aren't the junkyard special either that just sits in the yard and doesn't run. Friends, we as Journey Church, we are the work truck of the kingdom of God. And we may not be the prettiest, and we may have rust. We may be beat up, but when we come together, we get the job done. One of our elders, Jeff Molt, he reminds us often that when we aim for nothing, we'll hit it every time. And so for us to be the church that God has called us to be, and for us to carry out the mission that God has given us to carry out, and for us to reach the people that God has called us to reach, we have some goals as Journey Church that we want to reach towards together. Goals that we want to every single year to try to take some steps forward in to help keep us focused and to keep us moving forward. Some of you may remember at the very beginning of this year, we started looking at one of those goals, for us to be the Bereans. We say that we want to examine Scripture every day. All of us want to examine Scripture daily. And this is our focus from the very first part of the year. We talked about the importance of us every single day digging into God's Word. And not just me, not just our elders, not just our life group leaders, but each and every one of us daily digging into God's Word so that we can grow by studying the Bible together and we can increase our desire to know the inspired and inerrant Word of God, but not just fill our heads with more knowledge, but so that we can humbly obey it in everyday life. So that was kind of our focus at the beginning of the year. And so today, I want us to spend some time focusing on our next goal. Our second goal that we have as a church is the other six. We want to help every student, every adult, every follower of Jesus to be connected and meet with other followers of Jesus the other 6 days of the week. We say that we want to live out our walks together. And we do that by building strong relationships with each other and walking through the messiness of life together with prayer and accountability and encouragement. And so this morning, that's what I want to focus on together. How we can be connected with other followers of Jesus outside of Sunday morning. How we can be connected with other followers of Jesus the other 6 days of the week. But friends, can I be honest with you this morning? Relationships are hard. People are hard. Pastor Eugene Peterson said this. He says, wherever two or three are gathered, problems develop. Egos are bruised, procedures get snarled, arrangements become confused, plans go awry, temperaments clash, there are organizational problems, there are marriage problems, there are work problems, there are child problems, there are commitment problems, there are emotional problems. Friends, wherever two or more are gathered, there will be problems. Relationships are hard. But friends, they're worth it. They're worth the effort because, as we say often, we need each other because we are better together. So even though relationships are hard, they are worth it. I love the way Carl Kuhl says it. He says, close relationships require the risk of getting hurt. In fact, if you want a close relationship, you will get hurt. But it's worth it. Well, friends, after Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he arose from the dead. We celebrated that truth last week on Resurrection Sunday. But after his resurrection, he spent about 40 days proving to his apostles that he is the Lord and the Messiah. And then Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven. And just a few days after that, the day of Pentecost came. And the Holy Spirit came in a pretty powerful way. This crazy wind got everyone's attention, and these tongues of fire came and rested on top of the apostles' heads, and it was crazy. They began speaking in languages that they had never studied before because there were Jews who were there in Jerusalem for Pentecost from all over the world, and they began hearing the apostles speaking in their own native languages. And it was crazy, and some of the people in the crowd thought the apostles were crazy. But Peter stands up, and he begins to tell the people, hey, we're not crazy, but this is what this is all about. And he begins to tell them about Jesus. And he tells them that Jesus is the Messiah, the sent one of God. And many of the people who had gathered there had seen Jesus, or at least had heard about Jesus, who had died some 50 days earlier. But Peter tells them that he didn't stay dead. Yes, he was crucified on the cross, but 3 days later, God rose him from the dead, and it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And many of the people who were there were cut to the heart, and they said, Peter, what do we do? And so Peter tells them to repent and to be baptized. 3,000 were baptized that very day. They made Jesus their Savior and their Lord. But this morning, I want to focus on what those people did next. What did they do after making Jesus their Savior and their Lord? What did they do after repenting of their sins and being baptized? So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me over to the book of Acts. And if you're looking for that, Acts is on the right side of your Bible. It's the 5th book of the New Testament. It comes right after the Gospels and right before Romans. So right after the book of John and right before the book of Romans. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some on the back table. If you want to borrow one today, or if you want to take one home as a gift from us, if you don't own a copy of God's Word, we'd love for you to take that home with us. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start there in verse 42. We'll also have it up here on the screen if you want to follow along with us. This is what those early, those first followers of Jesus did. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So friends, this is what the first followers of Jesus, after coming to faith in Jesus and repenting of their sins and being baptized, this is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is what we have in the New Testament. That's what the apostles taught. And then they devoted themselves to fellowship and to prayer and to breaking of bread. They did all of these things, but I want you to notice something else that they did. They didn't do these things alone, did they? They did them together. It says they, meaning all of them, all of the followers of Jesus, all of the believers came together. Friends, if Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, not only will we be connected to God, but friends, we will be connected to each other. We need each other because we are better together. Friends, this is what the church is. Guys, you see these walls, right? You see these seats that you're sitting in. This is a movie theater. This isn't the church. Friends, we are the church. It's not the building. This is just a resource, a tool for us as God's people, the church, to use for his glory and for the work of his kingdom. And so whether it's like ours and it's a movie theater, whether it has stained glass, it is just a building, and we are his church. The building doesn't matter. The church is more than just these four walls. And friends, the church is more than just us here on Sunday morning. The church is more than just us gathering as we are right now. What we see here, these first followers of Jesus, they started living their lives together. They started walking side by side through the messiness of life every single day, the other 6 days, not just on Sunday morning. Not only were they devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, but they were devoting themselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. All of them were together every day, not just Sunday mornings, but every single day of the week. They were meeting together. They were sharing their meals together. They were praying for and with one another. They were listening to the apostles' teaching and putting it into practice in their life. They were caring for one another, selling their possessions to take care of each other every single day of the week, the other 6. It was vital for these first followers of Jesus to be connected with each other, the other 6. And friends, it should be for us too. It should be for us too. So what would it look like for us as Journey Church? What would it look like for us as followers of Jesus to be connected with each other outside of just Sunday mornings? What would it look like for us to walk side by side through the messiness of each other's lives, the other 6? Well, friends, if we are going to be connected with each other outside of Sunday morning, if we are going to be connected with each other, the other 6, we must pray for and with each other. We must confront sin in and help restore one another gently. Bible, we kind of talk about this as holding each other accountable. I love what James says in James chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then in verse 19, he says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Friends, we have said it before, but shame from sin causes division. It causes separation. Not only between us and God, but it also causes separation between us and each other. When we sin, we are often pushed further away from God because we are trying to hide from him, not because he is far from us. And oftentimes, we are pushed further away from one another. And so we must fight against that. We must confess our sins to God, for he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us, as John tells us. And as James says here, we must also confess our sins to our brothers and sisters, people whom we have put our trust in, that we have built strong, trusting relationships with, people who will shine light into the dark places of our lives, people who will bring the light in to the places that we have tried to hide and cover up. Does it hurt? Oh, yeah. But is it worth it? Oh, yeah. Because when we confess our sins not only to God, but to each other, as James tells us, it's then that we can find healing and accountability. Have you ever walked into a pitch black room? I know when you walk in here on Sunday morning, we've got all these lights on, but let me tell you, it gets pretty dark in here. No windows, the door shut, the lights off, it gets pretty dark. And when you cut the lights on, it kind of hurts, right? If you've been in a pitch black room and somebody has come in and flicked the lights on, you're like, ah, right? It hurts. But soon your eyes adjust to the light. And guess what? You're able to see more clearly the obstacles that can cause you to be tripped up, aren't you? Friends, when we allow other people to shine light into the places of darkness in our life, when we allow other people to hold us accountable because we confess our sins to them, does it hurt? Yeah. But we are able to more clearly see the obstacles that trip us up and entangle us. So we must confess our sins to each other. Confessing our sins to people that we have built strong relationships with, though painful, brings healing. Friends, if we are going to be connected with other followers of Jesus outside of Sunday morning, not only do we need to pray with and for them, not only do we need to confess our sins to them, but we need to encourage one another. We need to push one another towards love and good deeds. In fact, that's what the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, in verse 24. He says, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And if you were to continue on reading in the next couple of verses, the writer of Hebrews talks about how we, if we are to go on sinning, there's no longer grace left for us if we continue on. And there's this connection that the writer of Hebrews is making between our accountability with each other and our connecting with each other and our being able to fight against sin. But we're only able to do that if we encourage each other. God has made us for relationships with each other. We need each other because we are better together. Margaret Whitley puts it this way. She says that relationships are all there is. Everything in the universe only exists because it is in relationship to everything else. Nothing exists in isolation. We have to stop pretending that we are individuals that can go at it alone. Friends, we need each other because we are better together. I believe this verse here in Hebrews chapter 10 is a perfect definition for fellowship. Remember back to Acts 2, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Well, I believe this is what fellowship should look like. This is what being in fellowship with each other should look like. Intentional Christian relationships. Relationships that push each other. Relationships that hold each other accountable. Relationships that spur each other. Some of you have ridden horses before. You know what spurs are all about, don't you? They encourage the horse to get moving. That's what we are to do for each other. We are to spur each other to love and good deeds. And friends, here at Journey Church, we do all of this. We connect with other followers of Jesus outside of Sunday morning in and through life groups. Now, are life groups the only place that this should happen? No, but they're a good place for them. In life groups, you will find other followers of Jesus who are interested in praying for you and holding you accountable and are interested in encouraging you and walking side by side with you through the messiness of your life. We need each other because we are better together. And in life groups, we can find others who can walk side by side with us. Paul tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, you see, in life groups, not only do we pray for and encourage and hold accountable, but we grow together by studying God's word. Paul says that God's word is breathed by him. And is useful for teaching. Does it teach us alone? Yes, and it should. But it's so much more powerful when we study God's word together. When we are able to come alongside of our brothers and sisters and who see things differently than we do. And are able to teach us and push us and help us to grow. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God, and growth happens not just for us as individuals, but when we study it together with one another. It's not just about us knowing it, though. It's not just about us filling our head with more knowledge, but it's about us humbly obeying it in our everyday life. And that takes us humbling ourselves and confessing our sins to God and to each other. And being held accountable and being prayed for and prayed with and being encouraged and being spurred on. So friends, let me ask you this morning. Are you connected with other followers of Jesus, the other six, outside of Sunday morning? Are you connected with a life group or a small group? We have seven life groups that are a part of Journey Church. We have our middle school and high school group that I've already mentioned that meets on the second and fourth Sundays down in the first theater on the left. We have three other life groups that meet on Sunday afternoons and Sunday evenings, one that Ed Boland leads, one that Jimmy Hodges leads, and one that I lead. We have a men's group that meets on Tuesday night at Beaufort Builder's office, at Freddie's office, that Jeff and Kevin kind of co-lead together. And then we have a women's group that's kind of a hybrid group. They meet in person on Wednesday nights, and they also meet on Zoom that Cindy Cherry is leading. We also have a parenting life group that is meeting on Friday nights. And if you are a leader of one of those life groups, I know we have a couple of them, would you mind standing up right now? Y'all mind doing that? It means you have to stand up. Jeff is in the back. There's a couple of them who aren't here. I want you to look around this morning If you are not connected to a life group, go up and talk to one of us. You guys can sit down. Now, if you are a part of a life group, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand, okay? I want you to look around this morning. If you are not connected to a life group, go up and talk to that person that's sitting in front of you or sitting beside you or behind you. Ask them about their life group. Ask them about their small group. Ask them about how they are being connected the other six so that you too can be connected the other six. Ernie's already mentioned, but we have some amazing groups that are outside of Journey Church here in Washington and Beaufort County as well. We have Brothers in the Field that's meeting tonight. Man, amazing group of men that gather once a month. Lainey is connected to a women's Bible study that meets on Wednesdays at the Methodist Church. Look, we don't care where you get connected to other followers of Jesus. We just care that you get connected. It is vital for us to be connected to other followers of Jesus outside of Sunday morning. We are called to be the church outside of these walls and outside of Sunday morning. There are some amazing groups that we can get connected to, but you know what? Maybe none of those groups work for you. Maybe God's calling you to go and start one in your workplace, at your school, in your neighborhood. Man, I would love to help you get another life group or small group together. I would love to help give you the resources that you need to lead one of those. And many of our life groups that we have within Journey Church, they actually use a pretty simple but powerful way of leading them called three-thirds. And you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to do is invite people to come together and ask good questions, and we'll give you the good questions to ask. So maybe you need to go and start your own group in your neighborhood or with your coworkers. And what an amazing way to not only be connected to the other six, but what an amazing way for you to be able to share the good news of Jesus with your coworkers and your neighbors and your family and your friends. Maybe you need to go and start a group. I'd love to help you get connected and help you, give you the resources that you need to begin with. Are you connected the other six? Are you connected with followers of Jesus outside of Sunday morning? If not, what's stopping you? Let's be a church that is connected more than just Sunday mornings, but it's connected the other 6 days of the week as well. Now remember, we aren't race cars. We aren't just pulled out for race day. We aren't classics that only come out when it's sunny. We aren't junkyard specials that don't run. We're the work truck for the kingdom of God. So let's come together. Let's do the work that God has called us to be. Let's be the church that he has called us to be. Let's be the church, the other six. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he has made for us, that he died in our place and paid for our sins. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that we now are your temple in which you reside, Father. We are in awe. And Father, we thank you for your church. That you, even though you have called us to be different, even though you have called us to be your witnesses to the world, you have not called us to do that alone. But you have given us one another. And Father, we know that relationships are hard. We know that relationships are difficult. But Father, we thank you that we are better when we do this together. And so, Father, help us to set aside our insecurities and our worries and our fears and our shame. And help us be willing to be vulnerable. Help us to be willing to confess our sins, not only to you, but to each other, so that we may find healing. And Father, help us to be a people that holds each other accountable because we love each other. Father, your Son said that the world would know that we are your followers, not because of our Sunday morning gatherings, not because of our music, not because of our buildings, but they would know that we are your followers because of our love for each other. So, Father, help us to connect with each other, the other six. Help us to be intentional about building relationships with one another. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. And Father, we ask all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.